You may choose your sin, but only God can choose the consequences.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening, we will hear the conclusion of Pastor Brian Grant's message entitled, Guard Your Inheritance. This message is based on the encounter between the wicked King Ahab and a man named Naboth during the days of the prophet Elijah. This story is taken from the first book of Kings, chapter 21, and as we heard last week, has to do with this man Naboth's refusal to hand over to the king a vineyard that was his by inheritance. We heard about Ahab's childish reaction and the plot by his even more wicked wife, Jezebel, to gain control over Naboth's inheritance. But of course, there is in this story a moral lesson for saints today. Our spiritual inheritance in Christ is special and must not be trivialized, even though Satan, like wicked Ahab, may hold out an offer that seems better. But let's pick up again as Pastor Grant brings his message to a conclusion. Here, once again, is Pastor Grant with Guard Your Inheritance.
But lesson two, sin always has consequences. Write that down. Sin always has consequences. Well, let's move to scene two in our blockbuster story. And if you have a Bible, we're going to be looking now at 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 17. And I encourage you each week as you come to view the program, I invite you each week, make sure you have your Bible nearby and you have your pen and your paper, because I believe every week God has something to say to us. And you'll find out that here at GCA, we're all about what does God say. It's not about what the preacher or the pastor say. What does God have to say? Listen, we've heard enough politicians, we've heard enough philosophers. What we need to hear from, what we need to hear is what does God have to say. So here we are as we continue in God's word. 1 Kings chapter 21, I'm going to read from verse 17 to 24. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possession of it. You should speak to him saying, thus says the Lord, have you murdered and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him saying, thus says the Lord, in the place where dogs licked the blood of Naboth, dogs shall lick your blood, even yours. Ooh, I told you it had gore in there as well. So Ahab said to Elijah, have you found me, O my enemy? And he answered, I have found you because you have sold yourself to do evil in the sight of the Lord. You have sold yourself. Behold, I will bring calamity. Here's the word of God on you. I will take away your posterity and will cut off Ahab. From Ahab, every male in Israel, both bond and free. I will make your whole house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, because of the provocation with which you have provoked me to anger and made Israel sin. That's what God has to say. And then God continues, and concerning Jezebel, the Lord also spoke, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. The dogs shall eat Jezebel. I tell you, it's going to have some gore when the movie is put out. Verse 24, the dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Ahab and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the field. Wow, wow. Write this down, write this down. You may choose your sin, but only God can choose the consequences. You can choose your sin of choice. You may choose your sin, but only God can choose the consequences. Ahab and Jezebel had gotten caught by Satan's schemes. And if we're going to guard our inheritance, we must be aware of Satan's schemes. Let me share two of Satan's schemes that I can see in this text. Number one, Satan wants us to believe we can sin and get away with it. Put that down. Satan wants us to believe we can sin and get away with it. And trust me, many individuals in our world, Christians and non-Christians, somehow he continues to tempt us to believe we can sin and get away with it. And guess what? Many times we actually believe him. But in Numbers 32:23, the Bible warns, be sure your sin will find you out. I want you to notice the emphasis, be sure. There is no doubt here. Be sure. Young man, you may be hiding out and you think your parents and nobody knows what you're doing. Young lady, you think you're getting away with it. Older person, I want you to realize whatever it is you're into, be sure your sin will find you out. And don't forget, you may choose the sin, but only God can choose the consequence. And sometimes the consequence is rough. Satan wants us to believe we can sin and get away with it. But here's the second thing I don't want you to miss. Satan, write this down. Satan wants us to believe that delayed judgment is forgotten judgment. Let me say that again, because that one is sort of long. Satan wants us to believe that delayed judgment is forgotten judgment. You know, in 1 Kings 21:23, which we just read, Elijah pronounced Jezebel's gruesome fate. You remember what he said? He said what? Dogs would eat her flesh by the wall of Jezreel. And after that year, nothing happened. The next year, nothing happened. The next year, after a little while, Jezebel probably figured, that was such a joke. All this talk about the dogs are going to eat me, all this big, and just nothing. She probably thought God had forgotten. You see, sometimes we parents, you know, sometimes it's because of us why our kids grow up believing that God will forget. Because some of us, we make all sorts of promises. If you if you do it, I'm going to spank you. You want to get 4 lashes later on tonight. The kid does it. He don't get the 4 lashes tonight. He don't get it tomorrow night. He never ever gets it. And we make all sorts of promises. I'm going to cut your allowance. I'm going to do... Sadly, with us, delayed judgment is often forgotten judgment, but not with God. And my friend, you can count on it. He will not forget. God did not forget. And he doesn't forget our sin either. Listen, if you want to see the end of the story, the blockbuster movie doesn't really end till 2 Kings chapter 9. All the way down there. And guess what? We're not going to follow it all the way down there because we don't have the time this morning. But you can read 2 Kings chapter 9. And in verse 30 of 2 Kings chapter 9, exactly what God said would happen did happen. Can I say, give you a little, just a little? It is so gruesome. They ended up throwing Jezebel over a wall. And then by the time the elders, eventually they decided to go to bury her. By the time they went, the dogs had eaten all the meat off of her bones. All they could find was her skull and a couple other bones. Oh my goodness, you got to read it. You got to... What God had said would happen, happened to the minute detail. You see, God is a God who keeps his word. There's a part of scripture that says God cannot lie. Listen, Sadly, it means that when we sin, judgment is coming because God cannot lie. But I'm so glad it's on the flip side. It means that every promise in the book is yea and amen. And the fact that God has promised us eternal life, it means it's yea and amen. All right. You can bank on it. Anything God has promised, He will deliver. And as He said, He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and He will deliver. Amen. What have we learned so far this morning? Number one, we've learned to treasure our spiritual inheritance. Lesson two, we have learned that sin always has consequences, and that although Satan wants us to believe we can get away with it, we won't. We also learn that Satan wants us to believe that delayed judgment is forgotten judgment. But final lesson from our text this morning, God's mercy is available to the vilest sinner. God's mercy is available to the vilest sinner. Let's read as we continue this story. Another scene in this incredible story. 1 Kings, I'm going to pick up at verse 25 of 1 Kings 21. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Don't miss this. God is saying there was no other king in the entire history of Israel as wicked as Ahab. He had sold himself to do wickedness. That's some statement. Verse 26, and Ahab behaved very abominably in following idols. He not only was a killer, he was an idol worshiper. And those who have been following the series will remember that Ahab was able to get all of these people of Israel to start following idols. He built these temples for idols. The king of Israel building temples so the people could worship idols and turn against God.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
He behaved abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. You were just about to see a dramatic turn. Verse 27. So it was, when Ahab heard these words, he tore his clothes and put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring calamity. Ahab was the most wicked king. But after God pronounced judgment on him, he humbled himself and repented, and God had mercy on him and postponed his judgment until after Ahab's reign was over. I am so glad we serve such a merciful Savior. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 and 5 tells us that God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and in sins, he made us alive together in Christ. When we were spiritually dead, we were just like Ahab. You say, well, we didn't do all of what he did. But listen, sin is sin. Even when we're dead in our sins, he made us alive. This God who is rich in mercy, he made us alive in Christ. By grace, we have been saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you serve a God who is so rich in mercy? And this God who is so rich in mercy, it comes across the king, the most wicked king in the history of Israel, and he shows him mercy. I'm so glad that God showed him mercy, because that means that God will show me mercy. Listen, my friend, as you watch this morning, it means that God's mercy is available to you no matter what you have done. God's mercy can touch you this morning. I'll never forget the time when I presented the gospel at a service, and I gave the invitation, and a young man came forward. It's hard to forget this one. A young man came forward, and while they were singing the song of invitation, he quietly asked me, he said, "Can God save a gunman?" In case you don't know what a gunman is a gangster. A gunman is likely somebody who has shot a few people. He may even have killed a few people. And he said to me, "Can God save a gunman?" And I assured him that God can save anyone. Because at the cross of Calvary, Jesus paid the penalty for all our sin. I didn't have to ask him, what did he do? Did you kill anybody? I didn't have to ask him that, because I know that, and my Bible tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. I know that Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. And listen, in our text is letting us know the most wicked king in the history of Israel, God was willing to show him mercy. And my friend, no matter, you may be watching from a prison, it doesn't matter where you are or what you have done, this God, his grace and his mercy is extended to you this morning. Isn't it interesting how Jesus died? Here he was on the cross of Calvary, and if you notice, he was surrounded by two criminals. One criminal on the right hand, one criminal on the left. The criminal on one side, he was jeering Jesus, and he's saying, "If you really are who you say you are, come down." But the other criminal, he recognized he was in the presence of God himself. And he said to Jesus today, he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Listen, friend, if you come to him today, if you say to him, "Lord, have mercy on me today," he's willing to hear your prayer. He's willing to hear your cry. His ear is open to the cry of the sinner who wants him and is willing to submit to him. No matter what you have done, God's salvation is available, but it's not automatic. It's very interesting. The text makes it clear. It's not automatic. Ahab, the wickedest king, he was given mercy because he repented. He humbled himself and repented. But his wife, Jezebel, she did not repent. And so she received no mercy. Listen, God's salvation is available, but it's based on your decision. It's based on your willingness to humble yourself and ask God. Repent and ask God for his forgiveness. Are you willing to repent today? Are you willing to turn from your sin? The Sunday school teacher asked her class, "What does repentance mean?" A little boy, he said, "Repentance means to be sorry for your sin." A little girl wasn't satisfied with that answer. She said, "Teacher, it's not just being sorry for sin. It's being sorry enough to quit." My friend, that's what it takes. This morning, if you're sorry enough to quit, if you recognize that you're a sinner and you're saying, "God, I've come to a point where I'm willing to quit." Oh, you're going to need God's help even to quit. But if you're willing to humble yourself and say, "God, I recognize I am a sinner and I want you. I'm turning from my sin. I want to turn to you. God, will you save me? Will you cleanse me?" I guarantee you he will. And I'm going to ask you right now, right now as you're watching us, I'm going to ask you right now to pray and ask God to come into your heart. Perhaps you're listening to me right now, and the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and he's saying to you, "You know you need my salvation. You know you're a sinner. You know you have rebelled. You know you haven't lived right. And you realize that you need God's salvation." Listen, there is judgment. You know, judgment was decreed on Ahab and Jezebel. Judgment is decreed on us too. Jesus, when he was here on earth, he spoke more about hell than he did about heaven. My friend, preachers don't say much about hell anymore, but there is a hell. It's real. It's frightful. And this is why Jesus spoke so much about hell, warning us to avoid the judgment to come. But oh, this morning, he wants to save you. He wants to forgive you. And he will do that if you'll reach out to him. If you want to trust Jesus this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer. There's no magic to this prayer, but it's a prayer that if you pray it from your heart, God will hear you and he will save you. Bow your head with me right now and you say this prayer with me to God. But say it from your heart. Don't just say it from your lips. You say it from your heart as if you're speaking to God. Pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I admit I'm a sinner, but I desire your salvation. Please forgive me. Lord, I'm turning from sin. I'm turning to you. Come into my heart. Cleanse me. And help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. My friend, I hope you prayed that prayer. And if you did, God heard. You can pray your own prayer. Just simply turn to God and let him know you thank him so much for that Jesus died for you. And today you're turning from sin and you're turning to him. He will save you. Perhaps you're here this morning or you're watching this morning and you're already saved. But if you're honest, you've not been treasuring your spiritual inheritance. It's true that a Christian cannot lose their salvation. If you're truly saved, you cannot lose your salvation. But here's the problem. You can lose your fellowship. You know, it could be that you're listening to me and you're saying, Pastor, to be honest, I'm a Christian, but it seems like heaven is so far. It seems like God is so far. But the reason for that, your fellowship with God has been broken. But my friend, all that can change today. Right now, you can speak to God. You can say, God, I have wandered far away, but I'm coming home. And my friend, you can decide this morning. We spoke about making the sacrifices. You start making the sacrifices to draw close to Jesus. Every day you pray, every day you spend time in his word, and you watch your life to make sure it honors him. You pray right now. And Father, I pray that right now that there is somebody who's listening, who is saying yes to Jesus, that they are recommitting themselves to you. Help them and bless them. For Jesus' sake, amen. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.